Hello, and welcome to the Impact Podcast from us at Impact Wales. We're Finn and Jane, and every week we'll be bringing you lots of discussion, comments and opinion on everything research and education. We'll be talking professional learning, what's happening in the education world, and everything in between to help you make a difference in your school.
Hello, Jane.
Hello, Finn. Here we are again, another half term. It's been and gone.
Yes.
And we're back into the swing of it now in the run up to Easter.
We are. So we're back in today and we have got a podcast for you today. Oh, my goodness. We've got our notes that we normally do. But and we've got 3 pages of notes.
But it does feel a while since we've recorded a podcast because obviously we've had a half term break, which we didn't put one out. Sorry, our laptop's beeping as we speak, as yeah. Always does in a good podcast. And we had a fantastic one out with Ian Timbrell
on grammar.
Grammar, which we recorded for half term as well. So it does seem a little while, but
yeah,
we've got lots of exciting ones planned.
Yes,
we to have. To follow as well.
We have, but let's start with what have we been doing this week?
Well, what haven't we been doing? What haven't we been doing? Apart from the weather's been awful this week.
Yeah, it has.
Drizzly rain. But we had a couple of days, didn't we, last week, where we just had the phone was ringing and emails were pinging. And I think obviously it coincides with the end of the financial year, which is handy. But
I'd like to think of it as the post-Omicron tsunami.
Yeah, let's hope.
Yes. Because it was that we were just completely inundated. I went home that evening. I think we booked like a quarter of our annual revenue in one day. And I went home like with my head feeling like it was just buzzing.
But it was the variety of things that we've got coming up, which is really exciting. And I know we've got lots of long-term projects that we've started that we are
deep into, which is
so it's trying to juggle all of that. It's you know, particularly when you get to the point where we look at each other sometimes and think, well, what are we doing? But we get there,
It's good. Lots of sketchnote contracts as well. Lots of people wanting to turn impenetrable documents into handy, accessible.
A variety of documents as well, though, Finn. It's not just the one-page school vision. That, I mean, we've done quite a lot of those over the last few years, haven't you?
But
it seems to be a whole variety of things,
which is really rationales exciting. And we've had quite a lot of those from Scotland as well, vision and values, but not just the sketch notes, the process that leads up to the sketch notes as well. So I did actually have a count and I was shocked when I had a count. I went, oh my God, 78 sketch notes to do.
Yeah.
So I'm having to be super, super organised because they do take a little bit of
work. I do feel a little bit guilty. I can't really help you with the sketch notes, but...
Well, I should be done sometime around, I don't know, this time next year.
I do all the organising underneath and you could do all the creative stuff
but
on the top.
One of the themes that we're seeing coming across the support that we're being asked for is assessment in curriculum for Wales.
Yeah, particularly at cluster level. We've got quite a few clusters of schools coming up now between the rest of this term. In fact, we've got one starting on Monday, which is really exciting.
And it's one this afternoon.
We have got one this afternoon as well. But I think it's really nice that we are starting to work more with groups of schools, whether or not they're full clusters or part clusters. But I think that's really exciting as well. So watch this space.
The assessment is obviously on people's minds at the moment. But we've had special school, a school have a long. We've done curriculum for Wales and we are doing curriculum for is just a shorthand for helping them get to a point where they feel they're ready to look at their curriculum development, well informed, thinking about progression. But interesting as well, we've had lots of inquiries and lots of work booked for professional inquiry. I'm just thinking of the one that we're talking about most recently.
Particularly in Scotland as well.
In Scotland. And I think that's really relevant for today because professional inquiry using research for the purpose of improving teaching and learning. I mean, it's something that we've talked about, particularly with Scottish schools, because it's a legal requirement for all teachers up in Scottish schools to carry out professional inquiry. And it does, with some schools, feel a little bit like, well, we just got to get it done, tick, done, move on.
Yeah.
And not thinking about why they would do it. I mean, I'm not saying not saying that for Lark Hall. Lark Hall approaching it in a very different way. But I think it's just interesting.
And I think that underpins that, just linking in with assessment, is that we've got 3 quite large assessment contracts because we are, stepping into assessment season. which is my favourite season of the year. I've got three big assessment, particularly projects for mathematics, coming up now over the next 3 to 4 months. So I think I'm going to be going to ground for a little bit.
Yeah, both marking and assessing, but and also writing the assessments.
So I've got three different ones, which is exciting, because some of it is to do with Scotland. Mm. Some of it is to do with examinations across the UK, and obviously then assessment within Wales. So it's interesting.
Yes, and I think that, you know, just having sat there and listened to all of the things that we're doing, I feel a little bit overwhelmed.
Yeah, and for all those examiners out there, I can just say, you can just imagine my anxiety now, because I'm just going through the qualifying stages again.
It's every year.
And I hate the qualifying.
Yeah, and I feel for you as well. It's like, I've been kicked out again.
Yes, I know, but we'll leave that there.
Yeah, okay. So what we're talking about today is we're going to talk about, is education in Wales really researched informed? So we're going to look at the whole background of that, where that's come from, what's actually happening, how that sits within research more generally, what schools could be doing, what the expectations on teachers are, all of that kind of stuff. But we're going to start with this question about, why is using research to inform what you do in the classroom so important?
Well, I think it's taking it one step back a little bit as well, because I mean, we've talked about being research informed as an organisation ourselves.
Yes.
So we make sure all the time that everything that we do is rooted in research.
Yeah.
And it's only since there's been a few documents that have come out over the last couple of weeks that we've looked at and gone, we do that.
Yeah.
And it's quite reassuring to know that what we're trying to do for our professional learning, when we're working with schools, we're making sure as much of that is rooted in research as we move forward as well.
And I think that there are two prongs to what we do, and there always should be these two sort of lines of development that any good professional learning should focus on. One, that the body of content that you are sharing with teachers, i.e. the techniques, the strategies, the resources that you're suggesting that they use with their learners, with their pupils in their classroom, that has to be rooted in research. Yeah. But also the method by which you are sharing that professional learning with teachers needs to be rooted in research. So you need to teach from a research-informed standpoint, but also be teaching stuff that
in every research-informed way.
Yes, yes.
And we've sat in on many a session from other providers and professional learning. Mm. Then we thought,
probably not. So why do we need this kind of grounding in research in Wales, particularly? And I think we are at a point in Wales where this has particular importance. It's not just, you know, every education system should be research informed, should be using what people know about the best bets in learning to develop what they're doing. But I think it's particularly important for Wales, because we know from history, from, you know, things like, not just, but things like PISA in 2009, that we're behind the curve in terms of standards in Wales. So we need to make sure that in Wales, the children of Wales are being given the right education so they can compete with their compatriots in the rest of the UK, but also around the world. But also we've got curriculum for Wales coming, haven't we?
Well, it's the base of any professional learning, isn't it? We undertake professional learning ultimately to be able to raise standards.
Yes.
That's the bottom line, isn't it?
It is. And professional learning has to be about the experience of the children.
Yeah.
You know, we are here. We are all here for the children, nothing else. And on the 30th of June 2021.
I am just going to preface this. You're a bit of a date and a timeline freak.
I am.
And going but back, I did so much. You did.
I have to say, this is really meta. I did so much research for this thing on research.
I did.
Because I think it's really important, if you're going to talk about something, you talk about something with real
Understanding.
And, real understanding and having done the research that's required to understand what you're talking about. So on the 30th of June in 2021, the National Strategy for Educational Research and Inquiry in Wales was published.
It was.
And that set out, and I'm quoting here, it said, the aim of the National Strategy is that educational policy and practice in Wales should be informed by the best available research evidence and disciplined inquiry undertaken by educational professionals. And that is quite a statement. So they're saying that everything that the Welsh Government Education Department does and everything that happens in schools and in colleges and in higher ed institutes and between all those people should be underpinned by and informed by the best available research evidence.
And of course, 30th of June, 2021, that was Kirsty Williams's watch, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
But this would have been set up through Kirsty Williams.
Yes, it was set up. No, it was set up actually in, I'm going on to a second page, but I write November of 2018.
Because I've gone off piece, you see.
No, that's
a major change page.
That's why.
There you
go. November 2018, Kirsty Williams announced the policy that Wales were going create this national strategy. And we'll go back to what else happened.
So this was delivered on Jeremy's watch.
It was delivered on Jeremy's watch, but it had been going for a while. And I think that because we've got curriculum for Wales, you know, this is the right thing to do. The national strategy is the right thing to do is to say, well, we've got this the biggest change in education in Wales for decades. So we need to get it right.
Yeah.
So we need to make sure that it's underpinned by research, that it's you know, what we're choosing to do for the sake of the learners is actually in their best interest because we've got the research behind us to suggest that this is the best way to go.
Well, when you consider that Curriculum for Wales really is that idea that teachers have got to make those decisions about what's happening as far as pedagogy, about content, assessment,
selection and sequencing content.
So that you need to have that evidence base and that research base to be able to make the right decisions and the most appropriate decisions.
Yeah, well, it's just informing that expertise. It's making sure that teachers have got the expertise, that they are, like we did our research. We just, you know, knowing that what they're doing is the right option. I just want to kind of...
Or to start those questions.
I just want to make a delineation between academic research and the more generic sort of common language research term. You know, to do your research on something, to read up on it, that's one thing. But to do some academic peer-reviewed, structured, ethical research, that's quite a different thing.
We're not talking about that. Really.
Well, we will talk about both, but it's just knowing which is which. So inside this, national strategy, we've got the two kind of strands, is that research underpinning all of these decisions, whether whatever level they're at, policy, teachers, schools, whatever, but also this idea that teachers are educational professionals, as they're described in the quotes, but you know, we're going to talk about the teachers part of that, is that teachers should be carrying out professional inquiry. And that's obviously, as we were talking about with some of the work that we're doing, that's something that's a legal requirement up in Scotland.
Yeah.
I don't think it's yet a legal requirement down here.
But it's part of the teaching standards, isn't it? You know,
so maybe to it be is research, a legal requirement.
You know, to be research, using research and research informed. I think some of the...
Carrying out research.
Some of the statements that are for experienced teachers... It's embedded within those.
Isn't there? There's
I'll have to dig it out and have a look.
That thinking back on that, this is something I didn't look at. But I know that one of the standards in the professional standards talks about actually contributing to peer reviewed papers. So they are talking about teachers carrying out, you know, this very rigorous academic research as opposed to just action inquiry, which might be seen very different. So. We've got a really crucial time happening in Wales that needs to be done in a way that actually improves things. And it makes sense to start with the best bets in all areas. And we've also got this national strategy that sets out Wales' aspirations for how they're going to use research. So we're kind of at the cusp of potentially something really great. So we've got this is the setting for our story. Okay, so this is where we're saying. But I think we need to let's just kind of walk back in time a little bit and have a look at Curriculum for Wales, and let's just talk about that a second now, because we've got this curriculum for Wales. Obviously, everybody knows is this big thing that Wales is doing, that they're changing the way the curriculum works, and the subsidiarity. Every teacher is being expected to develop it. But let's think about what curriculum for Wales is rooted in terms of research as well.
But I know when we've talked about the 12 pedagogical principles within Successful Futures, that there were research citations in the footnotes of quite a few of those, but not all.
No, not all. And I think it's just interesting to, before we delve down into the nitty-gritty of the citations and the references that appear in Successful Futures. I was really sad again. I was really sad when I was doing the research for this. I went back to Successful Futures and I literally went through all of the citations, all of the references in Successful Futures, and just had a look at where they're from, who they're by, was there a preponderance of one set of research over another? And there was, not surprisingly. And, I actually went so far as to actually count them and put a tally mark under each one. But the OECD figured pretty highly.
But for such an important document, you would have thought that
there wasn't a full set of references at the end. And I know that it was in a different time. But, we didn't, that wasn't kind of the way things were done six years ago.
Yeah.
But we had the OECD, we had Visible Learning, John Hattie was referenced a lot. Dylan William was in there once. Yeah. We have the Sutton Trust. We had Mick Waters' book, which I thought was interesting. We had quite a lot of Welsh Government documents, obviously, to set the context, fair enough. Written by Graham Donaldson, but he referenced himself, which I thought was interesting. He referenced his own Curriculum for Excellence review. But also we had references like the CBI, the Business Institute, and which, that's quite unusual to see that in an education review, to see the views of and the research.
And the business.
Well, I'm not even sure if it was research or if it was just reports from the CBI. But there was a range.
Interesting.
There were a few research papers that I didn't recognise, but I certainly didn't see any of the research that we would now consider at the forefront of education, like Rosenshine, Kirshner, the fact that Dylan William was only mentioned once, nothing to do with Bjorks. There was lots that wasn't there. And I think that the citations were quite limited. But to give you an idea of the research pedigree of Curriculum for Wales, I think let's talk about the 12 pedagogical principles. Our favourite subject, because we've got the 12 pedagogical principles are introduced in Successful Futures as the 12 pillars on which the whole of the Curriculum for Wales is kind of predicated on, that this underpins the whole thing. So you think of these 12 pedagogical principles as kind of like 12 truths or 12, commandments or 12 unassailable ideas that need to be in everything.
They've got robust research underpinning them.
Absolutely. And there are plenty within that 12 that you absolutely wouldn't argue with. Things like the requirement for formative assessment to develop progression, absolutely makes sense. But just wanted to look at one, this idea of interdisciplinary learning, which seems to have changed a little bit over time. It's the 12 pedagogical principles seem to have morphed somewhat over the last 6 years, but this one particularly, the reference that was cited in Successful Futures was actually a project by the OECD called Innovative Learning Environments. And what this project did, and it's still on the OECD website if you want just to go and have a look at it, it's got lots and lots of papers with it. But it was basically the OECD wanted to look at innovative ways of organising learning for young people to help them to cope with the demands of the 21st century.
Obviously pre-COVID.
Pre-COVID. And they actually defined what they meant by innovative ways of organising learning. So they set out and they said, we only want to look at schools that are organising learning in the format of learner-centred, structured and well-designed, profoundly personalised, and I'm using their words now, inclusive and social. Okay, so they had already set out, right, these are the kinds of educational institutions we want to look at. So they were already limiting their sample size. They weren't looking at, you know, really innovative learning that made a difference to the learners elsewhere. It was just, how are these schools organising their learning? They then looked at seven principles from those schools that underpinned the most successful of these particular learning environments. One of which was interdisciplinary learning, or as they called it, horizontal connectedness.
Which is a horrible phrase.
But what's interesting is, and I have done, it was funny, we're doing a body of work for Kerry Diggin Local Authority on development of curriculum for Wales. And one of the things that they asked us to do was this idea of interdisciplinary or cross-disciplinary learning. So I actually went away and had a look at, you know, what does the research tell us about these things? And it's actually, it's quite difficult to find anything of any substance that says, you know, having connections between subjects actually makes improved standards.
Well, we went back to one of the myths from Welsh Government, one of their blogs about interdisciplinary learning, isn't it? And it was left very much wide open to how schools actually interpret that phrase.
Well, I think it was left open to say, you can do it, but you don't have to do it. You know, you can interdisciplinary, multidisciplinary,
if it works,
focused subjects.
Yeah. If it works for what you want to do as part of your curriculum.
But that's quite a different thing to saying this is a pedagogical principle that underpins everything that you do, that you must show this horizontal connectedness between learning. Yeah. Because if we're talking about doing the best thing for the pupils in front of you, you want to know the things that work. So it's quite disingenuous almost to say, well, there's this principle that's absolutely crucial to what you do, but you can do it or not do it. You know, it's quite confusing for teachers. And I think that what's interesting with these 12 pedagogical principles is that teachers have to be really discerning. They have to be critical of the curriculum itself and say, if I'm going to do the best thing for my learners, which bits are more important than others? Yeah. We're not saying that, you know, it's not good. Yeah. We're just saying that there are some that are more effective, let's say, or more should have higher priority than others.
And it might be as part of your curriculum, there are elements that are interdisciplinary, but there are also elements that are completely separate and taught within the discipline.
Yeah, discrete.
Discrete discipline.
Yeah, the thing that we need to remember is that Graham Donsell was actually working as a consultant for the OECD at the time he completed the review for Welsh Government. So it was, you know,
mic drop.
Yeah, there's a job of work that you need to do. You need to do a review of our education system, and you're working for a consultant for the OECD. Yeah. And if that means that you get to come back in again and tell us how we should be doing it better or change it or... then, yeah, that's good too. You know, as people who work in a commercial situation ourselves, we would never be actively working ourselves out of a job, you know, but it's not, I think there's a set of ethics around that.
And we know OECD have been back and done a review of Curriculum for Wales.
So and Curriculum for Excellence.
And Curriculum for Excellence.
Yes.
But we'll do that. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on, yeah, okay. So
let's look at the role that Welsh Government has got now to, so how can they support teachers to become more research informed?
Okay, so again, let's look at the history here. We've got in November of 2018, Kirsty Williams, who was then Education Minister, in her policy for this National Strategy for Educational Research, she committed to the following things. She said that she wanted there to be evidence-based CPD for teachers. Mm-hmm. She wanted Wales-specific education research, and she wanted this national educational research strategy to form the structure of how that was.
And I think those are three excellent
wants,
aren't they?
And the fact that the first one, evidence-based CPD for teachers, I think the whole profession would just go, yes, that would be fantastic.
Still not there.
So we had published in June of 2021 the actual national strategy, which again reiterated this, quote unquote, develop an evidence-based profession in Wales. But one of the things that it also identified was that there was a lack of education in Wales,
of
education research in Wales. But it said that this was a barrier to the profession becoming research informed. Yeah. Now, I think that's quite a leap to go from, we're not carrying out enough educational research in higher ed institutions, to our teaching profession is not yet education.
Yeah.
You know, the two don't necessarily match. I mean, you know, it's not like there's not lots of education research out there.
There's lots. Yeah. We're not going to not look at some of the research from the Bjorks, from the Science of Learning, you know, from all the others that we've talked about over the last couple of years, just because it's not been rooted within Wales.
I think this is a common narrative in Wales, is that we're doing something new for our country, our nation. And we know that other people have done similar things, but we can't look at them because we can't follow England. We can't do that. We've got to do our own. And it doesn't always have to be. Yes.
But learning is still learning, regardless of
whether you're English or
in.
Welsh. Yeah. Or whether you live in Swansea or in London. Yes. So I think the idea that the only way that teachers in Wales, or the key way that teachers in Wales can become more research informed, is when there is more educational research happening in Wales. I don't think that's the two. There's correlation, but not causation. Yeah. It's probably linked. And yes, I'm sure it doesn't help, but it's not the thing that's going to make the biggest difference. So the links between evidence use, professional inquiry and school improvement will be central to the model we seek to develop. So they've gone from, and that's a quote, sorry, they've gone from carrying out research in Wales, we need more of that, to, well, the model that we're going to have is we're going to have, to make them more research informed, there needs to be professional inquiry, and that will help with school improvement, which is, again, that's, it doesn't necessarily follow, does it?
And we know that some of the research that is undertaken elsewhere in the research in the HEIs is a little bit far removed from what is going on in the classroom.
That's a very polite way of saying it.
It is. And it's not exactly what the teachers need to making that difference on standards within the classroom. And it's been able to marry the two, isn't it?
Well, let's face it, if you're a teacher in the classroom, and you don't know how learning happens, and you don't know what's actually happening in the brain, or why forgetting happens, or the mechanism around preventing forgetting. If you don't know those things, then you're in a far less well-informed position. You know, if you don't know, you can't articulate how learning happens or how forgetting happens, how can you change your practice?
That's
to
the base of
manage
what you do, isn't it?
Exactly. And how learning happens and how forgetting happens, I mean, there is so much research on those things already, but I think the large majority of teachers in Wales probably can't articulate either of those two things.
It's taken a long time for things to filter through, isn't it? And I know this is a conversation we've had with some of our schools up in Scotland, that it is beginning to grow,
and it's
to
not,
grow,
it's
but
not
it's
the
taken
fault
time.
Of the teachers, absolutely not. I mean, when I was teaching, I definitely didn't know that. With hindsight, I chose to do the things that I knew in my gut worked, and they actually match with how learning happens and how forgetting is mitigated against. But it's not teachers' faults, it's that they're not being supported to really access all of this information that's been out there for decades. It's almost like you know, if ITE aren't looking at it in any great focus, and we've got a curriculum that hasn't got an underpinning of that, and we've got a policy for research that hasn't, that doesn't mention it or look at, you know, the research that's out there, then it, you know, teachers absolutely can't be blamed for any of this.
It's a little bit like shutting the stable door after the horse has bolted, isn't it? Let's get it right at the beginning.
And I know, and the strategy that Welsh Government have identified as this developing the profession into a research-informed profession focuses in on the use of a professional inquiry.
Yeah.
But I also think it's really interesting, just to really pick points here, that in the same document in their national strategy, and I am quoting here, they actually recognise how ineffective that is, because they say, the enthusiasm and productivity of teachers who engage in these professional inquiry programmes is impressive, but there is limited empirical evidence on the impact this work has on the quality of teaching, learning outcomes and school improvement. I'm just going to let that one sit there. So they've said, we don't know whether professional inquiry as a process makes a difference to the quality of teaching or learner outcomes or school improvement.
But we're going to carry on doing it anyway. Even though we don't know what's
Yes, okay. So, you know, and they actually, I can't quite get my head around that. But they're, you know, they're openly admitting, we don't know if this works, but we're going to do it anyway. And we're going to hope this is going to work, because somebody's told us it's going to work.
I think there have been some, looking on Hub and look at the case studies that have been put out there, there's clearly schools that are showing and have found lots of positive outcomes on learners and standards. But I think pulling it all together and coming together with some sort of research to say, look, doing it this way and looking at these elements will make a difference.
Mm.
It's
almost like the schools in Wales are really, you know, using research and thinking really carefully about, well, what's going to be the best bet in this context. It's almost that they're doing it in spite of what's going on in Wales rather than because of. And I think that
can I just add, those are very often the schools that have got the time and the space. Yes. They've been able to allocate time and space for members of staff to be able to do this.
So they're either pioneer schools or they're schools where everything is going really well, so they have got a little bit of leeway to do that. They're not schools who are currently struggling in special measures or a category or have got a significant disadvantage that they're trying to deal with. And I think that it makes sense then to talk about the summary that Carl Hendrick shared on Twitter that I just thought was so succinct and so clear and fully researched informed.
Which is what you want a piece of research to be able to be.
Yes.
His research did that.
Well, I don't think it was actually his research. I think what he'd done is he'd gone to, it was a paper that was shared, and actually we can put the paper in the show notes for this. But also the tweet from Carl Hendrick. And what had done, they picked out 4 points for why research has made so little impact in the classroom, fully supported by the research that supported these 4 points. And they were that research was too theoretical and abstract, and therefore difficult to transfer to a highly practical context.
Yeah.
And I think that's really true. Yeah. I think...
Well, there's a number of research papers that we've looked at, and I know you persevere a lot longer with them than I do, be the linguistic and me be the mathematician. And very often you look at phrases and think, I really don't understand what that is trying to say.
Well, actually, you're talking about something else here now, that it's saying that the research papers are often difficult to read, overly academic, and use impenetrable language.
Yeah.
But they also are overly theoretical in that they take something that, like, I don't know, guided reading, and they'll take it and they'll because they have to abstract it to a point where it fits the model of peer-reviewed research and it's, you know, fully replicable. They have to take all of the different variables, like, you know, the individual differences of the children and the context and the teachers' impact, all that. They have to kind of distill it down to its essence.
It's too many steps away from what a teacher can actually take from it and say, okay, this is what the research has identified.
Yes.
How can I then translate that into what I'm doing classroom with my pupils?
Yeah. And the fact that it is then written in this overly academic, very difficult to read. And I must admit, I read a couple of papers in the Vera Journal. And, oh, you know, 4 pages. We're talking A5, 4 pages, and they literally took me a whole day to have to go back to him. What is this?
Had tweeted in the week. I think it might be even following Carl Hendricks.
Oh yes,
tweet, it was literally a paragraph. It might even just been a sentence.
No, it was a paragraph. I tried to read it,
and I thought, wow,
what the hell is that about? Yeah, and you know, if you think that. Who is that research for? It's obviously not for the teachers, because if they can't access it, it's not for the teachers. So there's 2 points there. Another point is that research is often led by the researcher's own interests. And what we mean by that is not just what they happen to be interested in personally, but also what's going to open up an avenue for more research, because that's their job. That's what they do. That's fair enough.
It's what they can get funding for, isn't it?
Exactly. It's how the whole research system is set up, rather than research that's actually going to address the needs of a teacher.
Yeah.
And I know that professional inquiry might be seen as, well, this will address your needs better. But if it's abstracted to this point of theory and distillation of, you know, the kind of the crucial bits, but not the actual practice, then what use is it of to the teachers? And this final point, I think, is, I mean, this has been around since I've been there. I've been teaching, which is far too long. Teachers have not been allowed the time to engage with research. Yeah, there you are. Okay, so in the national strategy, Welsh Government have set out the ways that they expect this to be addressed, and the ways that they are going to make sure that all of the organisations within the education system in Wales are going to support not only the development of research capacity, and we're not going to focus on that because it's not really the focus of what we want to talk about today, but this focus on how teachers are going to become more research informed. So HEIs, higher education institutions, universities, are going to be tasked with, or have been tasked with since June of 2021, providing summaries and syntheses of high quality research. Have you seen it?
No, I was going to say, I haven't seen.
I know there have been a couple of papers out. I know that Professor Alma Harris from.
Yeah, she's done a few webinars as well.
She's done some webinars. Yes, but webinars.
Leadership.
Leadership is to do with leadership. And I know. Okay, so it's not what I understand as things that teachers can access, because.
Well, I think quite interesting as well, we've seen quite a significant upturn in the number of sketch notes that you've been requested to do, based on making things accessible and simple for use within a school, and not just within a school, but from schools, but from bigger organisations as well, to be able to do that. And I think we've also seen a shift in the number of people that have signed onto our website, either as free members or as paid members.
A lot of ultimates.
That they're accessing, they're accessing the research informed sketch notes and professional learning packs that are on there, because we try to make sure that when we looked at Carl's summary, we went through that, we try to do.
Well, are there any things that we do that don't address that?
Yeah, we try to make sure that we're doing that. But we've certainly seen an uptake in people trying to access, or not trying to, being able to access our resources, because we've always had a law, haven't we, that we don't want to have shed loads of resources on there that cover everything. What
it's
we want
to
make,
high quality.
It's got to be high quality and to the point and succinct and
And there is always this tension between, and I know that we've actually had discussions with academics on Twitter before now about this this point, is that, and I can totally understand, academics have written a paper and you know it's a complex thing that they've done, and there are nuances within it and complexities within it that cannot be shared on an A4 sheet. But that's not the point of the A4 sheet, is that, you know, there's a kind of a feeling of ownership over their academic paper, and they don't want it distilled down to, you know,
that's
5 points because it takes out all of that nuance and that complexity. But if you don't do that, if you don't distill it, then there's no access.
Yeah.
So we have to have that balance between, oversimplification and a gateway, a starting point. It's like, you know, if you're going to talk about, I don't know, if you're going to talk about, say, the complexity of language with a five-year-old, you don't start with, you know, the all of the nuances. You start really, really simple because you have to. And I think, you know, teachers, a lot of them are novices, so you have to start simple.
But we've also been to sessions where pre-COVID, when you can actually go in person. I can't remember, it was a hotel in Cardiff we went to, and they were reporting on, do you remember at the lunchtime they had around the lunchroom, they had the one pages of the
research,
the research posters that were happening within classrooms. So you think, well, yes, you can. And they were so much more effective. Yeah. And I know they were quite difficult to read, some of them, because there was so much on there.
Yeah.
But it's that idea, isn't it?
Well, this is the thing, you know, if you're truly deeply understand your subject, and all of these academics do, then if I said to you, what's your research about? And you can't tell me in 20 words or 30 words, you know, do you really understand it? I mean, what was Einstein's, you know, the sign of genius is being able to turn the complex into the simple. And it's that, you know, teachers are not accessing academic research because it's too complex and because it's too nuanced and because it's overly academic.
And because the time it takes to be able to do the things they need to do with it.
Exactly. So rather than turning teachers into academics, let's meet somewhere in the middle. So there's all these things about academic research that is an issue. So what Welsh Government have said in this national strategy is that universities should be providing these summaries and syntheses of high quality research. Consortia should enable schools to share their evidence-informed approaches. But one of the things I was thinking about with this is that it feels like there's a missing bit. So it's the, you know, the research comes for the universities, and it's almost like it goes directly down to schools.
Yeah.
And then consortia and the middle tier are just facilitators.
Yeah.
They're facilitating the work that the schools are doing. But surely that's the job of consortia.
Yeah.
Professional learning.
Yeah. It's to turn that research into professional learning for schools that does the job.
And I would just like to say that if that actually happens, we'll be out of job.
Yeah,
I
know. But for the good of education within Wales, absolutely. That's what we need to see.
Absolutely. They've also got these research hub schools are mentioned. Now, they're mentioned in the National Strategy, which is June of 21. I know we've been dealing with lots of other things since then, but I haven't heard anything about them since then. And these research hub schools, I'm assuming, are modelled on the kind of a similar format to research schools in England. They're supposed to provide information to other schools about what they're doing with research, you know, a bit like the Pioneer process. And we know how well that worked.
Next point.
Okay. There's also, you know, the focus on the professional learning, the professional inquiry process. I think it was quite a coincidence that the National Strategy policy was announced the same month that Behra made a statement or published a statement on their close to practice research. And if you read the December 2021 journal from Behra, there's some really interesting papers in there about how the close to practice research model supported by Behra is not useful for schools when they're developing research informed practice in their own schools. And it's this tightening of the guidelines for what constitutes high quality research, making it robust and reliable and you know, very, very structured. Yeah. Is that really going to make a difference to teachers in schools? Yeah. And, you know, there are quite a few papers that say, no, I mean, it's not.
What I would want as a teacher is I would want to know that I've got this issue in my classroom.
Yeah.
And I know I could go somewhere where I could say, OK, I've got this issue. OK, here's the research that will help support me.
Yeah.
To make a well-informed decision, not to have to go and hunt and search for this and that. I want to know what the best.
Yeah.
Somebody's already
yeah.
cultivated that.
Yeah.
that information for me to go to and say, ah, okay, right, in this situation I could use this and this, yeah, and this is the difference.
Well, when you think about it, when you're doing your
sufficiency, isn't it,
yeah, when you're doing your PGCE, you've got, you know, several different modules. We're going to cover assessment, or we're going to cover learning objectives, or we're going to cover, you know, how to develop engaged learners. And so there'll be modules. Well, where's the research to go to each of those? Yeah. That's all you need, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so we don't feel that supporting research-informed practitioners is actually that harder process. It's just being made...
It's just overcomplicated. Let's just make it simpler.
But let's not forget that we need that making or supporting teachers to become fully researched informed. It needs to be delivered in a method. The professional learning that develops that has to be researched informed in itself. You know, you have to do it in a researched informed way.
It's not about sharing what the research is, it's do it in that.
Yeah, and I know that there's been quite a shift in the support that's available across Wales in terms of, you know, workshops and day events that you can go and sign up for and things that you can access. And there's been lots of outside experts coming into Wales recently.
But it's not equitable across Wales. I think that is the issue.
Well, it's not even equitable within the same area because of the cost of this. If you buy in Doug Lamont or Daisy Christodoulou or whoever you're buying in, then you buy them in and you can only offer so many places, and then everybody else misses out.
Yeah.
And whether that's in a region or across Wales. And, you know, if you as a body are a professional learning body, surely you should be also, maybe as well as rather than instead of, but as well as, you should be providing the professional learning informed by that. It's your job to upskill yourself, isn't it? But again, doing ourselves out of a job.
We are.
But there is evidence out there. The recent Education Endowment Fund Foundation report on mechanisms of highly effective professional learning. I know we've been on about this before.
I think we've done a podcast on this, Finn.
We have. But it's okay. So, you know, as a commercial organisation, we are a commercial organisation. We are working in the commercial field. You know, if people don't buy what we do, we go out of business.
Yeah.
So we can't provide anything that's substandard. I would go so far as to say we can't provide anything that's not excellent, because it's quite a crowded marketplace. Yeah. We have to, you know, fight to be heard. So
particularly now that we've got experts from further afield.
Yes. Yes.
Coming in to look at Curriculum for Wales.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. We have to be really, really good at what we do. And I think that, you know, there's this new company that is going to be set up for bilingual resources in Wales. And it feels like setting up a company, you know, a commercial operation to deliver bilingual resources.
This was launched by Jeremy Mars, and it was the Details Brain Disc.
That's right.
This week, weren't they?
Yeah. It feels like they want the commercial positioning of this to improve the quality, but it's not really a commercial operation if it's fully funded by, I mean, unless they're expecting schools to pay for it. I don't know.
I think the word with this though is quality. It's all well and it's one thing setting up a company that will, you know, whether it's bilingual, whether the translation is coming through the company or whatever. I think the details are a little bit sketchy. But it's not about putting lots of resources out there. It's making sure that the quality of those resources.
Yeah.
You know,
and you can't expect the, you know, capitalism to refine the quality for you if you're not fully commercial. You know, if we had a stipend from Welsh Government, let's say, if 75% of the work that we did was funded by Welsh Government, there would be no onus on us to ensure that we were still selling enough because we'd just constantly be paid the whole time.
Yeah.
And it's because we're not paid by anybody other than the people who buy our wares.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why the quality is really, really high, because they demand it.
Yeah.
And I think
I don't
it's not coming from anywhere else.
No, and I don't think people outside the commercial commercial world, coming from being in the public, in the education sector as a teacher for so many years, and then stepping into the business world, we've gone through that roller coaster of, oh, can we pay ourselves this month? To, oh, I'm going to change some invoices. And it is quite an eye-opener to see that, you know, and I know we get, you know, the highs and the lows, but that is also rumbling around in the background. And I think it's not something that we've got a constant stream.
No.
You know, well, we know where we're going in salary.
That actually in January, we couldn't pay ourselves. And then we had, because it was a cash flow issue, because we were waiting for invoices coming in. And then we had this deluge, and obviously,
it swings around to X, isn't it?
Yeah, we're going to pay ourselves several times in February. But it's you have to keep...
The stress of it, that's the thing.
Well, and I think that, you know, if you feel that your product is in some way substandard and it's not going to sell, that there is this pressure to constantly be improving, constantly to be thinking about how can we make it better, more attractive, more saleable.
Yeah.
And that actually does drive quality all of the time. And I think that's the issue with a government funded company, is that there's no drive to sell.
Is this the best that it can be?
Yeah, because they're going to be funded no matter what they do. So it's,
Yeah, and like you said, it's not in our interests for Welsh Government and consortia to do better.
No.
But
we keep on banging on.
But we're in this
to
make education better. So we do want them to do better, which is why we're talking about it.
Absolutely.
Even though it might come back to bite us in a little while. But
well, we hope not. But, you know,
we'll just have to diverse and do something else, Finn.
So we don't think that Welsh Government are actually serious about supporting teachers to become research informed. There's no evidence that they are really serious about using the best bets.
There's in lots terms of talk, of, isn't there?
There is lots of talk. And they're, you know, maybe they're listening to the wrong people who are, you know, plugging what they want as opposed to what is required. So there's, you know, we await the developments in this national strategy and see whether it actually does make the difference they want and whether this company does bring the quality that they want.
Maybe we'll do a research informed podcast part two
follow-up at some point
in the new academic year, maybe
maybe this time next year.
But
we've got lots of things coming up, haven't we?
We've got some more, lots of scoopy meetings over the last couple of the next week or two. I think we did have a conversation during the week where we panic thinking when we're going to find the time to do stuff. So we've decided that we are closing our diaries.
We're going to have to
until Easter. Realistically, we can't take any more work before, which is a fantastic place to be in.
Yeah,
but
it's also a little bit stressful.
It is a little bit stressful, but you know, as we said earlier, I've got quite a few examination things and assessment writing things to be.
I've got all those sketches
to be hibernating to do.
But we've got it's lovely to see when we go back to people that we've worked with for a number of years. We're going back to Harden Village School to work with them again. And so we started with pedagogy and now we're doing assessment.
And we might be doing a face-to-face, a nice little jaunt up to
To
the Village Hotel up in
Harden. Well, coming into the office this morning is the first time I've not worn a mask in the corridors. So and I'm finally getting my 50th birthday present.
You are.
Nearly 3 years late. Going off to drive some tanks.
Yeah, so if you're out on the road, you might only see a tank. You know, we're not being invaded. I think
Finn needs just to. It's just me.
Just avoid, just run, drive the other way.
Okay. Well, that's enough for today.
It isn't it? Yeah. So
take care.
And we'll speak to you soon.
Bye now.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to make sure you don't miss future episodes. You can find us online at www.impact.wales. You can also follow us on social media. On Twitter, we're at Impact Wales. On Facebook and Instagram, search for Impact Wales. And on LinkedIn, search for Impact School Improvement.